This week's episode is brought to you by Bossum and Michelle.
Oh God, one more podcast?
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of Desi Standard Time. I am one of your esteemed hosts, Maz Khan. I have my extremely good-looking and talented professional podcast host taking over, taking the country by storm, really. Maz Ali on the other side. Maz, how you doing?
What is up, man? Doing well. Taking over the country, huh? Wow, I had no idea. Well, I think you're a
sensation, bro. You're an Asian sensation taking over the globe.
Exactly.
And we're just starting in the U.S., but it's just a matter of time.
Where the podcast realm has really led us to become international figures. Yes. I think it's a wonderful thing. Yes.
due to your grace and listenership, and it's all thanks to you guys. We're so thankful that we're continuing to record in these interesting times. We're here to give you some great content. We're both wearing kurtas today. That's just how we roll. You know, a little salute to the motherland. You know, looking fresh there. Looking very nice. I like that.
What are you wearing? Lilac. What's the, thank you. Yeah. The little lavender feel.
Lavender.
Is that a J&J that you're wearing? Or?
You already know. A little JJ action. Okay. A little JJ action. Shout out to the homie Humna for hooking it up. You know, you always got to, whenever someone goes back to the homeland, you know, you got to set them up with like a, hey, so you got any room in that suitcase? Or
that's exactly. When my mom is traveling, she's like, don't tell anyone or else I'm going to literally have to bring back so much, which she doesn't mind doing, but it just becomes stressful because she doesn't want to get it wrong and piss them off. And she's like, just and then when she comes back, she's like, I'm in the Pakistan gate at the end. People are like, wait, what? So
trips to the homeland are always so funny to me because like we have a lot of family back in Pakistan. And so, you know, someone in our family is always going back and forth. And no matter who's going, there's always the same three people always requesting to either send something or bring something back. Now, if it's something important, like there's some things you can't get out there, I totally understand. Right. And I'm willing to kind of make the sacrifice of having to see my family and drink loads of chai and be fed an abnormal amount of food to drop off a necessary like insulin or something like that would be crazy. Yes. Right. Yes. But then, you know, the requests are crazy. It's like, hey, can you drop off this bag of Advil? And I'm like, they have ibuprofen out there. Like, it's not a third world country anymore where there's no access or anything to these things.
Or any pain relievers. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Funny. And you get hit up usually from people that you just haven't spoken to in the longest time. And you're just like, oh, now you want to talk and chit chat because, you know, I'm going to Pakistan. I can like fulfill some errands for you.
Oh, man. They always come up out of the woodwork. And they're like, oh, what's new these days? Heard you're going to Pakistan. I'm like, nah, but I'm not. You heard wrong. Please.
Yeah. Please. Exactly.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Yeah, please. Bye.
So on that note, you know, we're going to jump into today's topic. We're talking about India, Pakistan, the media in each, and how they can often be a little bit segregated because of the politics that kind of underlie the two countries. So Maz and I are both Pakistani, but, you know, we grew up here in the States. We grew up here in the U.S. I was born in New York. Maz is from California. And, you know, here a majority of my friends are Indian. You know, I have a lot of Gujarati friends from India, but I also have a good amount of Pakistani friends. And growing up, those were kind of the people I always gravitated towards, and I didn't really differentiate between the two because, you know, our cultures are very similar. The type of dress that we wear is very similar. The type of food that we eat is very similar. Yeah. So it's easy to kind of relate to you know, both Indians and Pakistanis, and I never really saw a differentiation. But back at home, you know, tensions have started to boil over the last few years, and they've really been prevalent for a long time. And, you know, we are here to kind of examine how that affects the media in both countries. And at the end of the day, how it affects the viewership and how people are able to access the different kinds of media. So this episode is really just trying to examine how, you know, we do a deep dive into South Asian media every week and look at what, you know, is affecting us personally. Today, we're going to be talking about how the geopolitics of the South Asian region have affected how we both consume and, you know, have access to different media from that part Mazali, you know, I think you've you have a pretty good grasp of, you know, what led to this. So do you want to go into a little bit of the history of the two of the region and what led us to where we are today?
Yeah, no, for sure. And actually, it's especially interesting for me too, because I'm Indian and Pakistani.
Excuse me for being very incorrect.
No, not at all. I don't like to mess up your flow. You know, I know in the podcast world, we like to talk over one another, but when my boy's got a good flow, I like for my boy to have a good flow and let you.
Man, you're the best of both worlds, and my bad, my beat.
No, please. Not at all.
Please excuse. Please excuse.
Yeah, so, and it's been interesting, especially for me, because, yeah, my mom, like I said, she was born and raised in Bombay. Mm-hmm. And then my dad was born in Hyderabad, and he migrated, you know, after the partition over to Pakistan, was raised up in Rahimia Khan near Punjab. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because you do hear a lot these like comments here and there, and it's over it for me, like it was like over sort of like cuter things. And I'll mm-hmm. get into that later over like the things that my parents were competitive about. But essentially, you know, the topic that we have before us, you know, unfortunately, throughout history, there has always been this tension between India and Pakistan, and, you know, the split happening in 1947 led to many tensions between the two nations over claiming, you know, Kashmir. It created a new sense of nationalism between the respective countries, and, you know, as well as some unfortunate animosity between, you know, unfortunately, Muslims and Hindus as well. And so ultimately, this competition between the nations was, as a result, prevalent in many ways, right? Cricket, fashion, food, hell, field hockey, ultimately art and media, you know, for example, Bollywood and films, you know, right. And how each country and its people are portrayed has been interesting, to say the least,
sure.
Because both countries have also banned the other country's media at some point, you know, or another. And we unfortunately, even in 2019, continue to see these tensions
right
occur. And the latest ones, it almost led to a war, and it was
freaking
scary times, man.
For the you know, listeners in 2043 or whatever that are going to be listening to this podcast, because it's just going to go down in history.
It's gonna best. yes absolutely.
Obviously, you know, last year in 2019 there was a huge kind of political tension and almost to the brink of war between Pakistan and India, surrounding, you know, some planes that were flying over restricted airspaces, and it was all centered around the Jammu and Kashmir conflict. So, you know, historically, if you're unaware, you know, when the British divided up India and Pakistan, there's literally some dude. He just like, you know, I hate this. This guy ruined pretty much the entire portion of the world. He drew an arbitrary line, and this line divided some of, you know, the most, it honestly divided some of the most like important religious centers. It divided people who, you know, like entire villages. It basically just divided. And basically what this has done has created a line that's kind of in contention in some parts of the country, specifically in the northern part of Kashmir. And both countries, you know, feel as if they have possession of it. And that leads to a lot of different conflicts. So, but, you know, I want to go back to the point that you made about, you know, how they're portrayed in media, because I think that there's a point to be made here. It isn't just Pakistan and India that do this. I mean, if you go and watch action movies from the US from back like the 80s and 90s, who are the villains? It's always the Russians. It's always Russians, right? Yeah. Like if you go back, you know,
Rocky,
yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah,
he literally embodied the Russian, like, Cold War, and that's, you know, it's funny to me. It's very interesting to me, not funny, but it's very interesting to me how every kind of country's media often is like a sign of the times in that country.
Yeah,
right. And Pakistan and India are definitely no different. We definitely see it in Bollywood movies. We see it in Pakistani dramas and movies. And it's a very interesting concept, but it right. definitely is something that exists.
And to add to that, another medium that portrays this sort of animosity towards another group of people, and it's something that Americans and Pakistanis and Indians alike have a passion for, and that's wrestling, WWE.
Oh yeah.
Dude,
oh, yeah.
If you see all of the old wrestling matches, like Hulk Hogan, who was supposed to be the most American iconic figure, became big because he defeated the Iron Sheik, who is supposed to be from Iran. That's when like a lot of tensions between Iran and the U.S. was at an all-time high. The old characters that were either Middle Eastern or just from another part of the world were always depicted very, I want to say savagely and just incorrectly, like military heavy.
Right.
Kamala, like who remembers Kamala? He was literally just this a black guy that had like the moon and the star painted on him. He was like a savage. It's like, are you serious?
Right. Like, that's completely absurd. And luckily now, because of, you know, heroes that we actually personally even know, you know, that narrative is starting to change.
Yeah.
And Adil. I know you're pretty close to Adil. So, I mean, so am I, but like, you know, like Adil came in and, you know, he's Mustafa Ali and he's changed that narrative. He refused to be the villain and be more of a role model for young, because let me tell you something. If you brown and you growing up, you watch wrestling. Like all of us at some point or another have watched wrestling, been a fan, copied the moves, like done it on our younger siblings. It's totally a thing. Mm-hmm. And you're 100% right. And, you know, it's funny. It shows up even in Hollywood. Right. So WWE, et cetera, is one aspect of it. But like even in Hollywood, you look after 9/11 and, you know, people from the Middle East, Arab countries are just painted as the bad guys, the villains and everything. Right. So this is a concept that we're gonna keep that.
I'm gonna pretend that did not. What just happened?
I like grabbed the cord.
I feel like you have fans. You have fans that are watching you perform live, and they didn't like what you just said, and that was your equivalent of them throwing a tomato.
Oh my god, that was great. I'm just gonna fix this real quick. that was hilarious.
My soul.
I'm
just
alive.
Dropped.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
My
I'm
soul
okay.
and Woo. Heart just dropped. It's somewhere in my
neck.
Oh my god, someone is nuzzering us so hard right now.
That evil eye. It's real. It's real. Okay, so we survived. Man. We survived the great light ring incident of 2020.
Oh God!
But I want to bring us back on track here.
Light rail gate.
All right, I want to bring us back on track here. So, you know, specifically, I want to start with Bollywood and really where I first really realized that this stigma like existed, and there was this kind of narrative that was being pushed. And, you know, just through media, and it's almost subconscious, right? Like you don't even realize what it's saying until you get older. But we did see this whole kind of idea that Pakistanis were the bad guy in Bollywood, or that Muslim, like there was a lot of partitioning between Muslims and Hindus. And because of that, often my parents would not let me watch even like movies. So for a long time, I had never even seen like, you know, some of the most basic movies that a lot of people had seen. And it was because there was kind of a conflict in there regarding either Muslims and Hindus, or there was conflict about, you know, Pakistanis and Indians. And our parents just kind of like shielded us from that. Yeah. But there were other movies that I still did watch. And I was like, oh, like, okay, why are we being painted as the bad guy? I feel like I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a good guy, you know? It's just because you're a bad guy doesn't mean you're a bad guy. Like, it's like this whole thing. And honestly, I don't know if you have any stories about, you know, either personal or through the movies or whatnot, but I think we've all experienced this at some point growing up from both sides. You know, I think that Indians often, you know, get kind of some stories about Pakistanis, and I feel like you know, it happens vice versa as well.
Yeah, and it was always so confusing because I always saw these movies growing up like they were one of us. And even when you say, like, they're clearly speaking Hindi, but Hindi and Urdu are so similar.
Right.
I think the only difference, in my opinion, is probably just the script and just the language it's written in, right?
Right. I think I think it's so interesting that Hindi and Urdu are so very similar, but are written in completely different languages. Like Sanskrit and Arabic letters could not be more different.
Yeah.
But it's the same language somehow. It's crazy.
Same language. So I never understood. I was just like, wait, what? And then even like, what's the difference between, like, when my coworkers or people at school would be like, oh, I love Pakistani food. No, but I love Indian food. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's all the same to me. Yeah.
It's spicy and it makes you poop your pants.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It clears out your in intestines and such. Yeah. And that was always kind of the funny thing to say, like, just sound more exotic, was just like, oh, I'm Indian and Pakistani. But when you're ahead, you're like, I'm totally BSing this guy.
Right.
So there's, like, no difference.
Right. Nothing was a bigger struggle than in school having your mom pack your lunch and sitting down at like the table where everyone's eating like their very vanilla, like, you know, lunch tray food,
Lunchables,
or whatever.
Lunchables,
and,
yeah.
They're like peeling back just like crackers and cheese, like, oh, would you like some? And we're over here like opening our like levels of Tiffins, and you open one, the smell just permeates the entire lunchroom.
No, how did you have height?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
This is cow foot. This is called pie. Different from the pie you're used to, Greg.
Yeah. So, on Pie Day, on 314, we eat pie.
Yes, we eat pie. There is another personal story I remember. Well, it wasn't particular to me, but I remember my sister. She's married to an Afghan gentleman. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they... Earlier in their marriage, they were looking to make a trip to India, which they eventually did. But in the process of obtaining the visas, it was interesting because my sister had a really, really hard time getting a visa. But
right.
Her husband had zero issues. And it's unfortunate because it was around that time, specifically in that time of the world, where Afghanistan was heavily in the news. You know, there was a lot of mention of Al-Qaeda and like terror activity and just really unfortunate things happening to the Afghani people.
Right.
And so naturally you would assume that given certain things and how obtaining a visa has to do with your background, where you're from, your heritage and all this stuff, especially, you know, between India and Pakistan, that he would have probably had a more difficult time probably getting his visa, but he didn't. He got it like on the spot. And my sister wow. literally... Because her father is from Pakistan, right? Even though my dad's not like a U.S. citizen and all that,
right,
had to wait like 2-3 weeks. And she was just like, how, why? Like, how
is this
happening?
Even possible?
How
right.
is this even happening? Even till this day and age? Yeah.
Right.
And it's just
right.
unfortunate conditions have just gotten worse too.
Yep. Yep. No, it's crazy. And, you know, there's still kind of like it's very difficult for anyone of Pakistani heritage, like even if you're born, you know, somewhere else in the world and have other citizenship, if you have Pakistani like background or heritage in your family, it's very, very difficult to get a visa to India. It happens, but it's very, very rare. So it's the real life ramifications of things that we weren't even involved in. And, you know, it really shows up, I think, in the media, especially. And I think it embodies it. And you're taught from a very young age almost about certain things. You know, I think just a real quick story here for me personally, you know, growing up in the US, I always kind of viewed Russia as like this dark place. I know that you envision it and you just see like snow falling everywhere. It's like a guy in like one of those really furry hats and he's just like, you know, just like super cold, not pleasant to be around. And it's a very dark gray type place or whatever. Like you just watch like too many Bond movies. But I went to Moscow for work twice last year and it was an incredible place. I thought it was like such a beautiful city. It was so clean. The people were so nice. It was amazing. Yeah. And you know, it's crazy. Like Russia is such a hodgepodge of different cultures. You know, there's a lot of Azerbaijanis that live there, a lot of Kazakhs that live there. There's a lot of people who come from this kind of like almost Middle Eastern part of the world and live kind of in Russia, which is the big urban center. And you get people from all walks of life. I mean, you get Mongolian blood mixed in. It's a beautiful place. So it's interesting how much media can really affect your thought process and your perception of a place and really have no bearing on actual reality. And
seriously,
let's take a short break here now. Yeah. And we're going to come back and talk about specifically different movies that we've seen from the South Asian hemisphere that have embodied these conflicts and these stigmas. Till then, let's have a listen from this week's South Asian Spotlight, and we will see you after the break.
If any of you follow me on Instagram, you already know my favorite gurta to rock on Eid or any other occasion is usually from Bassem and Michelle. And today, we're lucky enough to have the talented co-founder Michelle Nayak with us. Michelle, welcome.
Thanks, Maz, for having me and for modeling our men's line so well.
Me? A model? You're way too kind. But honestly, all jokes aside, I love your stuff. Pakistani men's fashion has been stagnant, bland, and just unavailable for so many years. So, you know, that's what initially drew me to your designs in the first place, starting with my ombre kurta.
Ah, yes, that's a classic. To be honest, we had no idea what we were doing when we started in 2018 and had no idea that we'd end up here. Bassem and I shared a handful of pieces just to see the response, and they were a hit.
Wow, that's such a great story. And then what?
Well, the timing was great. I had recently quit my full-time job as an editor at a bridal magazine, and Bessem was just graduating college. So we went ahead and decided to start the brand.
That's incredible. What else has changed over the past 2 years?
Well, now we're designing collections for every season, doing bridals and bridal parties as well.
Wow. So you're quickly becoming a one-stop shop. I love it. You know, honestly, if you guys want to join me in rocking some Bessem and Michelle, head over to the Instagram at Bessem Michelle. That's BASIMMICHELLE. Or just check out Instagram for their tag content. Michelle, thanks so much for being here.
Ahoy, hoy. Welcome back to Desi Standard Time. Maz Ali here.
Maz Khan, still here. Hello. Though we had a little light debacle, you know,
oh,
still
God. Around. Yeah. It just shows the commitment of Maz Khan. Yeah. And I just, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, it doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
Maz Khan will be recording for your listening pleasure. He is there.
I'm a trooper, man. I'm a trooper.
Truly passionate about his craft. But to get back onto topic, we were discussing India and Pakistan, how the media between the two countries likes to depict one another as a people as well as a nation. And we were just sharing some personal stories about what it's like for me growing up as an Indian and Pakistani, what it's like for Maz Khan to grow up as a Pakistani. And, you know, it's interesting because I feel that a lot of the first gens that are born in the U.S. or, you know, maybe even outside of India and Pakistan,
right.
You know, we typically are a little bit oblivious to this, you know, this tension between the two countries, because you meet Indian people, you meet Pakistani people here, and it's like, okay, like, we're fighting the good fight. You know, we're all minorities here, right? And it's all good. We have very, oh, you like Bollywood too? I love Bollywood too. And it's all right, that. Right, but right. It's unfortunate, like, you forget that this is still an unfortunate reality that's occurring in the motherland, in Pakistan, mm-hmm, in India. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, these people, you know, the people that are being that are under scrutiny are feeling it every single day. So definitely we just want to talk a little bit more about that and segue into Bollywood a little bit. So the title of this episode is called Border. There is I think it was 1997, a movie that came out in Bollywood called Border. So let's talk a little bit about that. This was a movie that was following the lives of the people within the Indian Army. Of course, Sunnydale, as you mentioned, Maz Khan, always has to be in some sort of war movie. I don't know why. I think it's just his bread and butter.
Of course. He kind of solidified the later part of his career as, like, he's just going to be in uniform. That's the only way he looks good. So
yes, he tried with Dar. Dar was supposed to be his breakout movie, but Shah Rukh Khan kind of destroyed that.
Took it from him. Yeah.
And then he found his niche, much like how someone like an Imran Hashmi, if you will.
Oh my God, you took the words out of my mouth. I was like, look, when your career is going sideways, you just got to find a way to endear yourself to a certain population, much like Imran Hashmi has gotten in with the perverts of the South Asian motherland.
Yes.
Our boy Sunnydale coming in, straight hardcore uniform boy. Never could live up to his father's, you know, his father's anything.
Yeah,
or even his younger brothers, but he did kind of make his name making war movies. And you're right, you know. So after Dar didn't do so hot for him.
Yeah,
he had a few here off projects, but Border was, I think, one of his biggest.
Yeah, and Border was it followed, like I said, the lives of these select soldiers that are within the Indian Army, and it does show, again, it depicts like Pakistan and that side as the ultimate villains, and it shows like the hardships of war and such. And then it tries to attempt to have an anti-war message, which in one way it's good, but at the same time you're just seeing it from the lens of the Indian Army, which I always found a little bit, like, growing up watching, like, that's a little interesting, and like, I would like to hear, like, I've been to Pakistan ain't like that, like, come on now.
Right It shows a very, you know, at some point, a movie is just dramatic, right? They have to paint antagonists as antagonists, etc. So let me ask you something very interesting that just came to mind. Like, let's take, for example, Iron Man, right? A lot of people have seen Iron Man. It was a very, very successful movie. But when he gets captured, he's captured by people speaking, you guessed it, Urdu, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when they start speaking Urdu in the movie, I was like, oh, snap. Like, I understand exactly what he's saying. But did you feel like, oh, like, why are they showing Pakistanis as the bad guy? Or were you just like, okay, like, you know, this is kind of a region that's under disturbance or whatever? And
no, of course. I mean,
I'm just going to run with it.
Yeah, you're kind of like, it, like the cynic in me was almost excited to see Urdu on the American silver screen being spoken.
Right, right.
God, we like, lack representation.
A part of me. Yes, we made it.
But then you're like, okay, baby steps. Let's
yeah.
Let's
see, you got to start somewhere, baby.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of the same. So I never got to watch Border as a kid because my parents were straight up just like, yo, this is anti-Paki.
Yeah.
We ain't watching it. Straight up. And I think now I'm like, you know, it's very interesting to me. I would love to ask the directors and whoever, you know, what their feelings were. But, you know, it did paint Pakistan in a very negative light. But at the end of the day, it's a war movie about actual events that happened, you know, during the partition of Pakistan and East Pakistan or Bangladesh in 1971. And it kind of follows both sides of the story, but obviously is being told from the Indian perspective. So it paints the Pakistani army as the bad guy. On every side, there's a protagonist, antagonist. It's just crazy how subconsciously you kind of feel those things. Cause I know we had the exact same thought process during Iron Man. I was like, yo, my dude, I know what you're saying. We on the same side, you know, we are same. And then I was like, wait, but he's bad guy. Okay. Maybe not the same side, but like, I'm excited. Well,
you don't know what he's been through, though. The reason why they even in that situation to begin with. God. Yeah. You get, there's a lot going on in your head. But for the most part, me and my brothers and my friends were just headbutting. Like, hey, we made it. We're here. Like, in the theater.
But yeah, I mean, if we go forward with our boy, Sunny Dale, you know, he also showed up in another movie, which is called Gadar. And this one, honestly, like, I think Border was just like, eh, we don't really want you to watch this, as far as my parents are concerned. Yeah. Gadar was like, you are definitely not watching this movie. Mm-hmm. This is so anti-Pakistani, so anti-Muslim. It's just not going to happen. And I was like, okay. I to this day have not seen it, but it's commercially one of the most successful movies, you know, of its time. And it's just straight up about partition, which is a touchy subject for everyone. Everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. Did you see LOC?
LOC Cargill. Didn't watch that either. See, literally it was censored. And these are huge movies, guys. These are movies, like, if you look at the cast on LOC Cargill, it's literally everybody. Sanjay Dutt, Sunil Shetty, Ajay Devgan, Abhishek Bachchan, Saif Ali Khan, Akshay Khanna, Rani Mukherjee, Manoj Bajpayee, Kareena Kapoor, Isha Dale, Ravina Tandon, Mahima Chaudhary. Like, everyone and their moms was in this movie. It's crazy. But
oh my God. Sunil Shetty is also another one that always ends up in these movies as well.
That's because he's just the ultimate hard ass, bruh.
Just such a good gunda. I love that guy. Yes.
His jawline was so perfect for like so many years. And honestly, if you watch it, if you look at him now in Ravina Tandon and him aged so well. There was a song that I used to like be obsessed with back in the that day. It's called Sheher Ki Ladki. And they just remade it for a new movie. And they both make a guest appearance.
Yes, I love that song.
And he looks like a badass, man. He like come with a slick back hair, riding in on like a motorcycle, hasn't gained too much weight. Like, yo,
he looks great. Yeah, he's definitely on the Uncle Jesse, Anil Kapoor genes of not aging and doing really,
not aging.
Really
well.
Now to be the future father in law of Aubrey Graham, aka Drake.
Yep. What?
Because Drake has a really weird, interesting relationship with. Or maybe they're just friends. I don't know. Who knows? Sunil Shetty's daughter.
Is Drake just everywhere? Is he like a vampire, just like running around from different places? Because he's everywhere. Like no matter what you do, he just pops up. He's like, "What's up?" I love that GIF or that I guess video of him like going to some random dude's party, and the dude's like, "Who invited you?" And Drake's like, "Myself." Like, are you kidding? Do you know who I am? It's so funny, but that's such a flex. Could you imagine walking up to Aubrey Graham, Drake, and just being like, who invited you, bruh? Like, why? Why are you here? Okay.
That's tight. That's tight of that dude, but anyways.
So
back
tight.
On track.
So back tight. On... Such a flex. But okay, back on track. We definitely see these war movies, and they paint, you know, subconsciously you watch, if you did watch these movies, right? Because my family did not even give me that opportunity. But if you did watch these movies, you're kind of viewing this conflict, and even subconsciously, I think it affects you, right? It kind of just makes you think, like what I'm talking about with the Russians and, you know, movies like Iron Man that show different people as the bad guys. You subconsciously start painting these negative images in your head. And it affects you further down the line.
It does, man.
It's a concept we explored in season one for sure about how things that we watched on screen definitely take on with us later on. And it's very interesting. Very interesting how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. And one of those movies, because as we were talking about really war heavy movies, then there's a lot of movies that talk into about the politics between Hindus and Muslims. There's one specific movie I remember we rented. Simply because of the name, Ghulam-e-Mustafa. We rented that as a family. We were all planning on watching it. We turn it on, and essentially, let me give you just the back end of the story. So it's basically a Muslim guy who learns crime and becoming a terrorist from his dad, who's also a terrorist. And but at the same time, he knows how to be a total terrible human being, but he still makes sure to pray five times a day, right? So that's the one thing his dad taught him, right? Then he falls in love with Ravina Tandon's character, who is a Hindu girl, and who ends up dying in a blast that was aimed for his father. So then he starts having a change of heart. He's like, oh, maybe this is not the lifestyle I needed, and blah, blah, blah. So again, not the best depiction. And the entire movie, it starts out with this guy comes to kill Nana Patekar, and Nana Patekar, as the bullets are coming at him, takes an innocent bystander, throws him in front of him, and that guy just starts getting pelted with bullets. My dad literally out loud goes, "Stuck for love," which is like, no, we're done. This is disgraceful. We just stopped that movie. And we continued watching Family Matters or whatever was on TGIF that night and just called it a night. But again, same thing. We were shielded from this. Like, there's no reason. Like, we don't need to watch these movies that are going to be pushing a certain agenda. We're watching these movies because they bring us joy to laugh as a family. We're not going to watch this. Just get this garbage out of here.
Right, right.
And I'm so glad the movie flopped in the box office, too. God.
Yeah, but a lot of these movies did not flop, right? So, that's a really good example of kind of, this out-there movie. But, I think... So, let's start with Dilse, because Dilse is not, overtly about, religion, necessarily. But it does bring up the conflict of terrorism and insurgency within the Indian state. So a lot of these movies don't even talk about the conflict between Pakistan and India. They stay very much rooted within India, but it talks about the tensions and the different kinds of groups that were warring amongst themselves in India. I know that we've talked about Manisha Koirala's amazing performance in this movie through just pretty much her eyes, which is crazy. But this is a movie, I think, that again, my parents didn't let me watch it as a kid because they're like, oh, it's got some negative Muslim theme. And I watched it, later as an adult. I didn't think it was that overtly racist against Muslims or anything like that. But there's definitely this, there's terrorism and the terrorists are the bad.
It's like an underlying,
exactly.
That you, if you're not stupid, you'd be like, okay, this is what they're.
I know who they're talking about here. I know what they're talking about. But Mani Ratnam made that movie. And I think that he's generally he's pretty well versed in these issues. And he's done a good job in other movies where he's actually tackled this issue head on and been a really good champion of it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Bombay, I think, is probably the best representation of that. But there's also other movies that I think tackle the same time period. And, there was a lot of riots in Bombay in the 90s. Bombay is a huge, massive city. We're talking like 30 million people. And it's divided often with lines between Muslims and Hindus. In a lot of ways... I've been to Bombay and I've talked to people. I have a lot of friends who grew up there. Your mom is from there.
Yeah.
You can give us some insight. But I've heard that, people live very, very, cordially amongst themselves. But as with any city, divided by race, religion, etc., there are tensions. And those tensions really erupted in the 90s. There's some movies that depict that. I think one that we can talk about is Fizza, right? And it showed the hardship that families went through during that time, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's an incredibly sad movie. My mom, it's just unfortunate, man, because this is literally an old man's fight, you know, right. that unfortunately just gets, you know, much like we see like in America as well, with a lot of racism and xenophobia. This is also unfortunately an occurrence with the old, like some people that are higher up in politics or whatever, and the older generation, that unfortunately this ideology seeps down into their progeny and younger folks. And yeah, I mean, it was terrible. And I think this definitely, for my mom watching this too, unfortunately kind of stirred up a little bit of those emotions, you know. And on top of that, the movie itself was just incredibly sad. It shows that Hrithik was this, and they were a very good, easygoing, like Muslim family, right. You know, before the riots occur in their village, and they come, and then Hrithik ends up getting lost with them. And then in that 6 years where he's gone, he just, you know, develops these ideologies and adapts them. And then just to see what unfolds later when you see him like shooting people in front of his like mother and sister, you know, Jaya Bachchan and Karishma Kapoor. And just, you know, Jaya Bahadur, spoiler, who ends up unfortunately killing herself. And then Hrithik, who ends up deciding that the only way to go out honorably is because now his own group has turned against him, is to like kill himself, or not kill right. himself, but have Karishma Kapoor end up, you know, killing himself. It's super sad. And it just, it's that, oh God, I can't even get into it. I only saw that movie once, but it was just, it's really heavy, man.
Yeah. And I don't know why Hrithik went on this like 2 year rager where he just wanted to be a terrorist. But, you know, after Fizza, he then also did Mission Kashmir, which had a very, very similar storyline. Yeah. You know, he's a young boy living in Kashmir, another embattled region. You know, Bombay, so here we see the two conflicts that we've kind of covered in two different areas, right? And in Bombay, it was kind of the religion and causing riots. Kashmir, it was the two states kind of warring and the different factions that are contained therein, leading to a lot of problem. But almost a very similar, you know, storyline. You know, he's a young boy, Altaf or whatever, and his family is devastated by some fighting that they're uninvolved in or whatever.
Yeah.
And that leads to him going down this dark path, becoming a terrorist, and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And, you know, these movies, I don't know why Hrithik was like, yo, you know what? I got to do this. All right, guys.
Yeah.
I'll be back. He goes and does Kahan Pyare. Awesome movie. He establishes himself as like a sex symbol in Pakistan. He's a really good looking guy who can dance. And he's just like, hey, for 2 years, I'm going to be action hero. Goes off, tries to be Schwarzenegger.
Let's turn it up.
fails miserably. And then Karan Johar is like, ajo beta. Let's put you back where you belong, in a turtleneck, walking into Shah Rukh's house in K3G. Come on now.
All you do is work out your triceps and biceps, right? You don't work out your chest or abs. Or abs, yes, but your back.
Yeah.
Good. I have the perfect cutoff for you. Perfect. Well, it's interesting because originally for Fizza, I forget who the actor was, but there was someone else that was supposed to be cast, and Hrithik was supposed to have a small role. But because Kahan Pyare was wildly successful, he ended up becoming the lead role because the director was like, oh crap, like we need to really capitalize on Hrithik. Like there's a demand for him now. So then he ended up getting that lead role.
Right.
And so that's part of the reason. And then he was just like, okay, let's just continue this this train.
he finally did a good war movie, you know, in the last few years. In War, literally, the movie War.
So
I will never understand. Okay, so at first I was like, oh, here we go again. Kabir the bad guy. And, you know, he's a Muslim guy. We're like, oh, great, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends up being like, you know, he's not a bad guy or whatever. But him and Tiger both play these Muslim guys in War. But then they sing together in a song called Jai Jai Shiv Shankar. And I'm just like, something seems amiss here, but
I did at not least
I don't understand.
Okay, the entire movie, the marketing, everything, the promotions was hyped up to be Hrithik versus Tiger, the old versus new, Ali versus Tyson, right?
Biceps versus abs.
Biceps, yes. Vascularity versus forehead sweat, right? Just hold this. And like the two greatest, wildest dancers who, honestly, Tiger is like a carbon copy of, and there's plenty
ridiculous.
Of
they're both so
and,
good.
And they're so freaking good. And there's like many times throughout the movie too where like you see like Hrithik coming on, Tiger just having this like, just developing this
yeah.
Just getting
honestly,
really hot and heavy.
There's a lot of questions about sexuality in that movie. Like, Like, it wasn't just a girl staring at Hrithik for that five-minute montage of him getting out the helicopter.
It was Tiger, it was me, it was everyone.
It was everyone. Everyone in the theater. Yeah.
But then you wouldn't expect it to be a movie about war and all that. So it was just interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess to wrap things up, we've talked about a lot of these negative things, but there have been positive things about this as well, right? So we've definitely seen some movies who try to tackle this subject and take a very positive turn. I want to talk about Bombay very briefly. It's an incredible movie. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it. It's originally in Tamil, but it's been dubbed in Hindi. I hate the actor that they chose, but he's a really good actor. Arjun Swami, I think, is, or something like that. Something Swami. Really, 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 really good movie about the Bombay riots in the 90s. And how love can kind of surpass religion. And it really shows how it wasn't the people themselves who were creating these problems, but they were definitely the people who were suffering because of the tensions and the conflicts that erupted in that region. Mm-hmm. Mazali, what are some other examples of movies with positive messages regarding these conflicts?
Yeah, I think Jodha Akbar is one of my favorite movies because we do see, and Bollywood does have this, I think a lot of people get turned away from Bollywood because they're like, no, there's like a lot of like anti-Muslim or just like, again, this fear-mongering and continuing of these sort of ideologies. And that's what people steer away from it. But there is a lot of movies within Bollywood too that depict, like Bombay. Jodha Akbar is incredible. I believe the director was Ashutosh Gowarikar, who did, maybe you said it correctly. I'm sorry. But sorry, Ashutosh. But he also directed Lagan. And it's a wonderful depiction played by Hrithik and Aishwarya, Akbar and Jodha, where Akbar ends up marrying Jodha, who is a Hindu woman, and bringing her in. And he totally gives her, he makes like a Hindu temple for her. He makes sure that she's still celebrating and going about her traditions. And it's really just about like peace and we are one people and we have, you know, greater good. There's greater good and there's greater things that we need to accomplish. So that's one of my all-time faves, and it's so well done.
And that just reminded me of one of my all-time faves, which is Veer Zara, and a very similar message at the end of it. You know, it does kind of paint Pakistanis in sort of a negative light when Manoj Bajpai turns out to be the dick that imprisons him.
Manoj.
Spoiler alert. But at the end, you know, Shahrukh gives this amazing, one of the best all-time speeches in my eyes. Mekhedi number 786, Jerki Salako se Bahar Dekh Raha Hoon. Translated to, you know, I am prisoner number 786, which is a whole, you know, a very auspicious number in Islam, staring out of my jail cell. And I'm looking at the world around me, and I'm looking at the people that I see here in Pakistan, and they look just like me. And this land looks just like mine. And there's Zara. She's treating me as one of her own. But still, everyone is saying that we're not the same. And I think that was a beautiful, beautiful message at the end of that movie. And one that I think, you know, we should all take to heart, because at the end of the day, you know, the censorship and the blockades of these different medias, we lose as consumers by not being able to see and view these different viewpoints when they have these kind of negative conflicts and messages. So
yeah, no, great movie. And then unfortunately, there are some directors out there that do still, in my opinion, like to push that agenda forward.
I think
Sanjay Leela Bhansali really pissed me off with Baba.
My favorite one to hate. Oh, outside of Dev Das, I'm over it. You know,
like the Padmava too. Like the whole, I want to say that a lot of the controversy within was about Padmava and how it's a poem, and people were just up to their ears about the idea of even depicting Padmava, who's like this like almost like mythological, beautiful like figure.
Right. She was Helen of Troy.
Helen of Troy. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to put it. And there's so many depictions and iterations of that poem, but the one that Sanjay Leela Bhansali like wanted to move forward with was, let's make Alauddin Khilji this freaking savage, barbaric human being.
Right. Who like is literally just a savage. Like, I understand that he's a bad guy or whatever in this poem, or he's the one, you know, that's ruining everything. I'm okay with that depiction. Because, sure, however you want to see it. But I hate the fact that they almost made him not human or, like, uncivilized in a way. Like, he's like an animal. Yeah.
Literally an animal doing whatever the hell he wants. You know, Ranveer, you could obviously see that he had a great time, obviously, like, you know, acting that part. And if you look at all that part, it is, like, almost in a cynical way, like an entertaining character. But again, overall, it's terrible because they're just further pushing like the Muslims are bad people and stuff. And he's like, oh, well, this is just my depiction of it, so take it how you want. But it's like, dude, you know exactly the tensions and what it's age we're living in. It's so irresponsible to do that, man.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, even sometimes people that I don't know if we like him, but Karan Johar, you know, always divisive. But one of the things that I had a real big problem with him was when he cast Fawad Khan, which is a great choice for playing the character in Adil Hai Mushkil. And then the Indian censorship board basically like had a fit about having a Pakistani actor in the movie because the tensions were just so great at that time between the two countries. And instead of backing his actor and, you know, running with it, Karan Johar came out and apologized for, you know, casting him, and the movie was almost pulled completely. And I was really disappointed because, you know, Karan Johar is a very powerful man, especially in the Bollywood industry. And I feel like he could have made a stand there for what was right. You know, there's a reason why he cast him. He ended up cutting a lot of Fawad Khan scenes from the movie. And we didn't get to see that brilliance. So hopefully day in the future, there's a director's cut, but.
Yeah, but he was also the first guest on that season's Coffee with Karan. It was supposed to start with Fawad Khan, and it got pulled. And I believe they replaced it with Shah Rukh and I think Ali Abart. I may be mistaken, but Fawad was supposed to be the first guest, and they pulled him out. So again,
So hopefully we progressed a little bit, you know, in terms of openness. Obviously here we live a little bit of a different life, but I think that we've shown in this episode that it doesn't matter where you live. There's always going to be prejudices, and hopefully we can overcome them in the future and all get to, you know, enjoy media without this kind of subconscious messaging and making other people that are honestly not that different from us the enemy. And that could be Hollywood, that could be Bollywood, that could be Lollywood, you know, Pakistani dramas as well. Hopefully we all kind of come together and hopefully we're not all Kaidi number 786 looking out of our self-imposed jail cells. So,
yeah, man, well said.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, well, again, thanks everybody for chiming in, for listening, for tuning in. Hopefully, you know, you guys obviously resonated with a lot of what we had to say. Unfortunate problem with what we're dealing with on the daily, and we have all a long way to go in many, many ways. Like, subscribe, comment. We'd love to hear from you guys. What are some memories?
Are there other movies that we've missed that you guys weren't allowed to watch?
You know, fulfill our ignorance, if you will. Please. But thanks again for listening.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks again, guys. And we'll be back soon with some lighter content for sure. But hopefully you enjoyed our take on this very important topic during our time.